When you think about Thanksgiving, think about. Can you hear me? Think about together. You think about the original. Why it is that we have this? Why it is that we, you know, why do we have this holiday that's coming up? You know, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about the season of Thanksgiving. I want to talk about this, this whole idea. Now, the reality is, if you watch television, if you go shopping anywhere, the whole world has forgotten Thanksgiving. We went straight from summer to Christmas. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I really, really want to boycott Best Buy because they were the first Christmas commercial that I saw. I mean, we hadn't even had Halloween yet, and they're doing Christmas. I don't love Christmas, and I'm probably not going to boycott anybody because Best Buy's got a lot of cool stuff. But I really wish I was convicted more about that than I really am. But it's mildly annoying because I think Thanksgiving is important, and I hope that you do too. And I hope that when we think about Thanksgiving from this day on, maybe this isn't the thought that we come up with, that first Thanksgiving where, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians and all of that taking place and hey, what is that? What are those yellow bumpy sticks? Oh, that's corn. You know, maybe that's not what we think about. Maybe we think about this. Maybe we think about together, family. You know, grandma with the big turkey or the goose or whatever it is that she's got there. And, you know, everybody's so happy to get together and eat a big meal and watch some football and then, you know, fall asleep in a turkey and banana pudding induced coma. And then, you know, wake up and who won? Oh, I'm hungry. Not really, but I'm stopped hurting, so I'm going to eat some more. Maybe that's what we think about. Because it's gone from the pilgrims to the dining room table. And then, you know, and maybe it's just about giving thanks. Maybe it's just about, it's not about a meal. Maybe it's just about thinking about the time of year and all of the things that we have. But from this day on, maybe instead of Thanksgiving being for us a time when we take inventory on all of the stuff that we have. Because isn't that what we do? We, you know, and I think it's interesting if you got Facebook, which I don't, but I do look at my wife's Facebook page. And, you know, there's just all the days of Thanksgiving. And so what people are doing is they put random things that they're thankful for. You know, this time of year, I'm thankful for my family and I'm thankful for my car and my job and my health and my this and my that. And all the things, we just didn't take inventory on all of the stuff that we have and what we call blessings. And I don't think that's a bad thing, but I don't want that to be our idea of Thanksgiving because it's starting to feel gluttonous to me. And I want to challenge us to be more than that, to be more than just consumers of things that God would see fit to bestow upon us. And then just throw a thank you once a year right before we hog down on some gigantic food. I mean, that's just, can it be more than that? Can Thanksgiving be for us like it is for God? Can it be being thankworthy? Can we be people who are like God, who are thankworthy? Think about 1 Chronicles 16. And if you've got your Bible still open there, I want us to look at what that passage is actually talking about. The passage that Hayden read comes at the end of a lot of things where it's talking about God. It's giving us, he's saying a lot of things about God. He's give thanks to the Lord in verse 8. Call on His name. Make known among the people. He's saying there's all this stuff going on that God does. There's all of this reality about who God is and what He does and what He gives. And then He allowed man to do this. You know, He said, don't touch my anointed. He, you know, the great and most holy God. He's just all of this stuff, the protection, the beauty of nature, all of this that God does. And he gets down to verse 34, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. Because he's good. Because he's worthy of our thanks. Because he does for us things. He provides for us. He bestows upon it. He's worthy. Give thanks because he is good. And God calls us to give thanks. He calls us to, many times throughout Scripture, he says, give thanks. He calls on us to be thankful. But God also calls us to be thankable. Isn't that what he says in Peter when he says, be holy because I am holy? When he says that we are to be Christ-like, that we are to be like him, and we're supposed to be these kind of people and live these kind of lives, that at the end of all of this description, it is thank God because thank Christians because. Where are you right now? I mean, we all of us sit in a pile of stuff. So it's not hard for us to look around and think, oh my goodness, I'm glad that I have that. And see, I think that when we take this gluttonous approach to Thanksgiving, it's not so much thankful for stuff, it's just we're just glad we've got it because I'd rather not be without it because life would somehow be less comfortable if I didn't have or if I weren't in this situation. If I weren't here in this country, I would live in another country where it's a lot less comfortable. If I didn't have this home, I would live in a smaller, maybe less this or that home where I'm less comfortable. If I didn't have these clothes, then I wouldn't be able to dress this way and I wouldn't look this good. You see how it becomes this just, I'm glad I've got all this stuff. Because in Psalm 67, he says, you know, bless us so that we can bless other people. Bless me so that I can bless other people. I was talking to a teenager this week who did something for another teenager, and she was telling me that, man, it felt a whole lot better than I thought it was going to. This girl has a job and, you know, makes a decent amount of money doing it, and her friend is always lamenting the fact that she's running out of gas. So when they were together, this young lady filled the tank up of this friend, just filled her tank up. And the girl didn't know that the gas gauge went that far to the left. And, you know, and gas is not cheap. And this is one teenager to another. And it was just, you know, wasn't asked for, wasn't anything. But it was like, you know, I've got all of this. How can I bless somebody else? And I don't know about you guys, but if somebody put a whole bunch of gas in my tank, that'd be a blessing. And she said, I couldn't get over the look on her face. And it was awesome. I said, well, yeah, that's sound theology. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive, correct? And, you know, in Psalm 67 says, God bless me so that I can bless other people, so that I can be like you, thankable. And it's not for the thanks, it's to be like God. So this morning, I want to talk about what it means to be thankable. I want to talk about what it means to live this 1 Chronicles chapter 16 existence where at the end of the day, at the end of the description, people say of us, of those who are Christ-like, man, thank them because they are good. They are like God. The first thing that I want you to do in order to be thankable is notice the needs of other people. When you go through that passage in 1 Chronicles 16, it's easy to see that God knows what we need. God is not aloof. He's not separated from the human experience. He knows what it's like. He knows what it is to exist here. He knows our needs. And it's not whether or not we're struggling. It's what are we struggling with. You see, because everybody is struggling with something. It doesn't matter what kind of smile they have, what kind of clothes they have, what kind of house they live in, what kind of job they have, what kind of job they don't have. It doesn't matter. Everyone is walking a hard path on this earth. Everyone is struggling. And so what God is compassionate. In Ephesians 4 and 32, he says, get rid of all this stuff in your life. Get rid of bitterness and anger. And rage. See, what Paul is telling the Ephesians, he says, there's things that come between you and godliness, you and compassionateness, you and goodness, and you need to get rid of that, because when you know, all of those things, bitterness, anger, rage, all of those are what one person has in their heart that elevates them above someone else, that separates them from their condition, you know. Bitterness. Somebody's got something I don't have. Somebody's in a situation I don't have. Somebody had something happen to them they didn't deserve. You know, so there's this bitterness that separates the bitter person from the condition of the object of their bitterness. He said, get rid of that. Understand, you've got nothing to be bitter about. You've got nothing to be angry about. You have nothing to be enraged about. He said, get rid of that so that you can be compassionate. So that you can be the kind of person that I can use, so you can be the kind of person at the end of the day that someone can thank God for. In 1 Peter 3 and 8, he says, look, guys, I want you to live in harmony. I want you to live harmoniously with people. I want you to, whoa, hello. Does anybody else see that? Because sometimes I see stuff. Is that one of those ladybugs? All right. Do they bite? Jim? Am I saying? Okay, I'm good. All right. They sting? They stink. Okay. I can deal with that. Which I found out those aren't really ladybugs, are they, Hyatt? They're some kind of a beetle. Do what? Watch your mouth in here, Jim. We are in the, you know. No, yeah. So anyway, they're all over the place. All right. If one lands on my head or whatever, just try to pay attention. But seriously, sometimes I see stuff and y'all don't see it, and it, that scares me. But Peter says, look, be live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Be sympathetic. Everyone's going through a hard struggle, but not everyone's equipped the same way that you or I are equipped. Not everyone has the strength to deal with it the way that you and I have to deal with it. You know, there's a we all have, you know, for the most part, everyone in this room, we have the ability to stand up and walk from here to there and go out to our cars. But for some people, that's difficult. For some people, just the act of parking and walking in here can be a struggle at times. Margie, am I right? Absolutely. So we all have the same job to do, but some of us can do it a little faster, a little easier, you know. And so then some of us can go out and run and exercise. Well, I promise you that if Frank and I started jogging together, he's probably going to finish a whole lot sooner than I do. And if Brian and I were lifting weights together, while I am struggling with 10 and 15 pound dumbbells, Brian's got a Volkswagen over his head, just pressing that sucker. See, we all have these things, but everyone's equipped differently to deal with the struggles that we have. So as those, or some are struggling mightily and others are struggling less, those, you know, be sympathetic to the condition that we are all in and live in harmony. The second thing I want us to do is recognize our available resources. Things that we possess. If we're going to be thankable. See, God has all of this power. He has all of this holiness. All of this righteousness. Everything at His disposal. And instead of inventorying it, He uses it. He releases it to bless us so that we can bless others. Things we possess are opportunities to be Christ-like. What do we own? What owns us? See, the difficulty is that throughout this study, as I've gone through my house, my life, and I'm thinking, could I get rid of that? Do I own that, or does it own me? And then then all the rationalization starts. Well, that was my mother's. That means a lot to me. Well, what else could I do with it besides set it right there? I'm saving that for, you know, but what if the kids need that? But what, you know, that, you know, but all of the, we rationalize all of these things, and it's so easy to be owned. In Acts 4 and 32 through 37, he talked about Christians in this pattern of life, and he says that they had nothing. They owned nothing. They did not recognize anything that they possessed as their possessions, but they had everything in common. And when somebody needed something, if somebody had something, they would give it to them. If they didn't have it, they would go sell something they had and give them the money to go do whatever it is that they needed. They were compassionate. They were sympathetic. Their inventory was not so that I can be glad I have this. It's their inventory was so, God, how can I use this to be thankable? And the last thing, once we have noticed the needs and once we have recognized our resources, we have one thing left to do, and that is to take action. That is to actually do what it is that God has laid upon our hearts to do. I came across this video that I'm going to have Hyatt play, and while he is teeing that up, look at this and recognize all of the things that go on for these young people to be thankable in a situation that might not seem so important, but when you get down to it, it really is. Go ahead, Hyatt, and just...
We end tonight with the football play of the month. It was executed with amazing precision by the Eagles. The Olivet Eagles. Steve Hartman has the play and the post-game analysis on the road.
Between classes, they schemed and conspired. For weeks, the football players here at Olivet Middle School in Olivet, Michigan, secretly planned their remarkable play.
Did anybody go, this is a crazy idea?
No, everyone was in on it.
But like the coaches didn't know anything about it. So we were like going behind their back.
I've just never heard of a team coming up with a plan to not score.
It's just like to make someone's day, make someone's week, just make them happy.
The play, which was two plays actually, happened at a home game earlier this month. The first part of their plan was to try to get as close to the goal line as possible without scoring, even if it meant taking a dive on the 1 yard line, which it did. The crowd was not happy. Quarterback Parker Smith.
But us kids knew, hey, we got this. This is our time. This is Keith's time.
Keith Orr is the little kid in the brown jacket. He's learning disabled, struggles with boundaries, but in the sweetest possible way. Because of his special nature, it's no surprise that Keith embraces his fellow football players.
Hug Gabe.
What is surprising is how they have embraced him.
Hello.
We thought it'd be cool to do something for him.
Because we really wanted to prove that he was part of our team and he meant a lot to us.
Nothing can really explain getting a touchdown when you've never had one before.
Which brings us to part two of their play. If you didn't see Keith, it's because they were so protective of him. But he was in the middle of that rush.
And when you crossed the goal line, what was that like?
Awesome.
It was like, did he just score a touchdown?
Get your camera out.
I'm like,
Keith's parents, Carrie and Jim, almost missed the moment, but they got the significance.
Somebody's always going to have his back from now until the day he graduates.
She's right. When the football team decides you're cool, pretty much everyone follows suit. Today, Keith is a new kid, although by no means was he the only one who was profoundly changed.
What was it like for you?
It was like once I saw him go in, I was smiling like about like here.
Wide receiver Justice Miller.
Like nothing could wipe that smile off my face.
Why did it affect you so much?
Because like he's never been like cool or popular, and he went from being like pretty much a nobody to making everyone's day.
Justice admits the play wasn't his idea.
I would have not really thought about that.
He says it never crossed his mind to give Keith any glory.
Well, I kind of went from being somebody like mostly cared about myself and my friends to caring about everyone and trying to make everyone's day and everyone's life.
Which may just make that touchdown the most successful football play of all time. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Olivet, Michigan.
I never would have thought of that. See, what touched me in that was Justice Miller. I mean, we've all known guys like Keith who, for whatever reason, needed help with this, that, or the other. But we've all been Justice Miller. And I appreciate a kid. Go ahead and hit to the next slide. I appreciate a kid. It might have shut down. That's fine. Who will recognize that I wouldn't have thought of that. I never would have thought to give someone else the glory. I never would have thought to give someone else the this or to give someone else that. I never would have thought of that. But did you see how he was changed by the end of that? Do you see how he was, how God broke his heart and said, this is what it's about. All of the talents that you have, all of the ability, all of the good looks and the stuff that you can do, all of the talents, all of that, it isn't about glorifying you. It's about finding that person that you can lift up on your strong shoulders, on your blessings, so that they can experience what on their own they could not. And Justice got that. Said, I went from being about me, about being glad that I've got all of this ability, all of this talent, all of this. I went about being about me to being about other people. That's what being thankable is all about. That's what being Christ-like is all about. It's about getting it. It's not about me. It's not about my. It's about, what can I, where I am, what I have, how can I use this to glorify God? But there's some warning signs. There's some things that we have to be aware of, and they have to be on the lookout for. Don't wait for everyone else to be on board. I love the fact that no. The coaches had no idea what we were doing. You know, they didn't want to take it before. You know, they didn't want to get permission. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is permission, right? And in society, in a world that is so anti our agenda, maybe it's time for us to not be so worried if the rest of the world's on board with the way that we live, and we're just going to live this way and be thankable and show them that we got this. We got this. Don't wait for anyone else's approval. Because Jesus says the way that we live is going to be anti-social. It's going to be anti the way that the world works. And if it seems meaningless, if it seems like something that is really too small to mean anything, then you're on to something. If it seems like it's insignificant, then you're probably going in a direction that is going to impact the most amount of people. Think about this one little play that affects this one little person and the lasting impact that that had on the parents and the grandparents and all of the friends and all of that school and everybody that was there to see that. When I was sharing, and Al and I were talking this morning, I said, you know, think about Noah or Ashlyn. If somebody took what they had and did something so profound to lift them up and to glorify them and to give them something that on their own they could never achieve, how would that affect you? And the lump that was already in his throat got a little bigger. I said, oh, that'd be awesome. See, when something seems so insignificant, like it's only going to help this one little guy, maybe it's not even going to change anything, it's not going to make him a great football player, it's not going to give him any kind of a leg up in college or anything like that. It's just going to help him right here in the right now, and it's going to change so much else. when it seems insignificant, that's when we're onto something. This morning, I want to encourage you to be thankable. I just want to encourage you for this Thanksgiving season to be thankable. Maybe it's not about taking inventory to be glad about our situation, our circumstances, or our pile of stuff. But it's taking inventory to see, God, how can I use what I have and where I am to change their situation, to change their family, to change me from the inside out. This morning, I want to challenge us. Be like God. So at the end of the scripture, at the end of the day, at the end of the description, people will say of us, man, those people are Christ-like. Thank God for them because He and subsequently through Him, they are good. Can we be thankable this Thanksgiving season? For some, it might start with sacrificing all by giving our life. Confessing Christ, being baptized, having the Holy Spirit come into you so that it makes sense, so that we're empowered to do that. Wherever you are this morning, whatever situation you're in, God can take that from a selfishness and He can turn it into a selfless existence that is so much of a blessing to you and everyone around you. Will you accept the challenge? Bob's going to come on up and lead us in a song. It's an invitation song, and as we stand together, if there are any needs that you have, any prayers that you want on your behalf, if there's any place that you want us to help you go from into a deeper relationship with God, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing?